Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, I just wonder how much the president is benefiting by the media constantly crying wolf. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. It is the Eric Erickson Show across the state of Georgia. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC. That is 877-973-7425. I have gotten a couple of emails from people saying they have tried to call in and they can't figure it out. It's because I got a C and a K in my name. Maybe I should have thought of that. But no, that's how I spell my name, E-R-I-C-K. So it's 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We are broadcasting from the North Georgia Mountains to the Florida line, from the Chattahoochee to the Atlantic Ocean, and we have some new news that has come out in the last little while. Here it is 7 after the hour. It is 9:07 where I am in Macon broadcasting, and we've got record employment. Unemployment is at a 50-year low, record 158,269,000 Americans working. This from CNS News. The work week is ending with good news for President Trump, as more records were smashed in Friday's report on September unemployment. For the 22nd time since Donald Trump took office, the number of employed Americans reached a record high last month, climbing 319,000 from August's record of 157 million people working. Now 158 million people working. At the same time, the number of unemployed Americans set a Trump-era low at 5,769,000. But wait, you say, but wait! How can this be? We have 158 million working, 5.7 million not working, but we have 350 million Americans. Well, you're counting the retired and the children in the total population. This is of working Americans, people within the workforce. So you got to remember how this is calculated. We went over this in the Obama era as well, that there are people who are considered in the workforce. And when you're in the workforce, you are people on unemployment regularly searching for a job, and you're people who have a job. There are people who fall out of the workforce. They give up, decide they're not going to work anymore. They're going to retire, and they're taken out of the work pool. The labor force participation rate is another issue. How many people can work versus how many actually do? Let me delve into the numbers here. The Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics says the economy added 136,000 jobs in September. Employment in healthcare and in professional and business services trended up. In September, the civilian non-institutional population in the United States was 259,638,000. That includes all people 16 and older who do not live in an institution like a prison, a nursing home, or a long-term care population, which essentially means we have 100 million people who do. Wow. Well, not I shouldn't say 100 million people who do. We've got maybe, I forget what the numbers are, but this does include people below 16. So people under 16 and people not in a prison, or people in a prison, nursing home, and long-term care don't count in the 259 million. Of the civilian non-institutional population, 164 million were in the labor force, meaning they either had a job or were actively seeking one. That produced a labor force participation rate of 63.2%, the same as it was in August, a Trump-era high. The higher the number, the better. Of the 164 million people in the labor force, 5.7 million were unemployed, which puts it to an all-time low of 3.9. Now, here's the kicker. The unemployment rate for Hispanics has never been this low. Only 3.9% of Hispanic workers in America are unemployed. Among Black Americans, The record low of 5.5% in August is they're holding steady. 5.5% of Black America is unemployed. Among the other major worker groups, the unemployment rate for whites is 3.2%. For adult men, it's 3.2%. For adult women, it's 3.1%. For teenagers, it's 12.5%. For Asian Americans, 2.5%. The change in total non-farm payroll was revised up from 159,000 to 166,000. The change for August was revised up by 38,000. With these revisions, employment gains in August and in July were more than previously reported. In September, the average hourly earnings for all employees on private non-farm payrolls dropped 1 cent to $28.09 following an 11-cent rise in August. Over the last 12 months, average hourly earnings have increased 2.9%. This is really good news for the president. Obviously, Democrats are out today saying the president benefited from the Obama economy. What's really going on here is the president is benefiting from the tax cuts. The tax cuts have continued to hold things off. Now, the future shows some warning signs, but the president's in a good place. The future does show, for example, manufacturing in August and September has begun to slow. The manufacturing workforces have declined. What's so interesting, though, is the people leaving manufacturing workforces are either retiring or they're able to get new jobs. And that shows we've got some dynamics in the economy that are still working in the president's favor, even in Rust Belt areas where the president's trying to revitalize those areas. The jobs aren't coming back into Rust Belt industries, but the jobs are coming just in different forms, and that's benefiting the president. The other thing that is notable here is the president is able to have some level of cushion. So as Europe slows down and China slows down, and by the way, there's absolutely no dispute that Europe and China are slowing down right now, we have a little cushion in this country. It allows the president to play his tariff games. Hush, Siri. By the way, you should know, speaking of tariffs, the White House has announced that they're going to increase tariffs on certain European products, including chocolates, wine, and scotches, whiskeys from Europe. Why? This is in punishment for in the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization has ruled against Europe. Europe had been subsidizing Airbus plane manufacturing. The United States filed a complaint on behalf of Boeing with the World Trade Organization, claiming it was inappropriate for European countries to be subsidizing Airbus making airplanes. The World Trade Organization ruled in our favor, and that allows us to extract penalties from Europe for a certain period of time by imposing tariffs. Now, the media has been reporting this as an extension of the trade war. It's actually in punishment for Europe having subsidized Airbus planes. The problem here is that though the president is applying tariffs to whiskeys, wines, and chocolates from Europe, it's actually Americans who will pay the tariffs. The European countries won't pay the tariffs. Americans will. Essentially, what this does is it tries to dissuade Americans from buying European chocolates, European wine, and European whiskeys in favor of American chocolates, American whiskeys, and American wines. So California may benefit to some degree. Bourbon country certainly going to benefit from the news, which is excellent. But we've got that issue. You do need to be mindful of that. Now, we need to turn to other news. That's the economic news of the day. I have taken the time to reach out to the Department of Labor here in Georgia, just so you know. In the next hour, I want to spend a little bit of time walking across the map of Georgia. And you can actually see what the governor, when the governor says rural Georgia needs to become high tech, needs to get broadband, we need to figure out how to attract industry to rural Georgia, you can see it in the numbers. I spent a little time breaking those numbers down, and I want to walk you through Georgia unemployment in the next hour and how it looks on the map. National unemployment, though, however, another big takeaway, record low Hispanic unemployment. Black unemployment in this country is at an all-time high. All-time high for Hispanic employment, all-time high for Asian-American employment, and just really good news, the best economic news this president could hope to have at a time the media is starting to really get overwhelmed, and the media is really starting to go full in on impeachment. Now, I got to ask you a question. By the way, as we do this, I want to play this audio real quick. This is from the CEO of Salesforce. You will recall Salesforce, the head of sales. So let me explain to you who have no idea what Salesforce is. You encounter Salesforce on a daily basis and you do not even know it. Salesforce is the back end of many systems many corporations use called customer relations management software. If you get an email from, let's say, so I bought a new Yukon from Jim Ellis in Atlanta a while back. And I get emails now from Jim Ellis wanting to check in, wanting to make sure I've got my oil change, wanting me to know that I got a coupon for a tire rotating balance. Well, this is a GM system, but GM runs its system on top of Salesforce, where Salesforce is essentially a big database where you can draw in all the people who purchase products from you or interact with you on social media even, or like you on Facebook. You can get their contact information, and you can reach out to them. You can reach out to them on Facebook, Twitter. You can reach out to them by email. You can gauge their responses. If they've opened the email, you'll be able to track it. If they've replied, you'll be able to track it, and things like that. And so all these systems work on top of Salesforce. Salesforce is a highly progressive company. Salesforce is one of those companies that was headquartered in Indiana when Mike Pence was governor and signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Salesforce threatened to walk away from Indiana. This is the CEO of Salesforce. Listen to this guy.
I really strongly believe that capitalism as we know it is dead, that we're going to see a new kind of capitalism. Mm-hmm. And that new kind of capitalism that's going to emerge is not the Milton Friedman capitalism, that it's just about making money.
Right.
And if your orientation is just about making money, I don't think you're going to hang out very long as a CEO or a founder of a company. You have to be more than that in today's world. You certainly have to be more than that in San Francisco.
And that's,
and
because
you certainly
need that
have to be more than,
right,
that in our tech industry as well.
Now, what he's essentially talking about is you've got to be more social justice oriented. You've got to... there's nothing wrong with major corporations involving themselves in the community. The problem is they're steering more and more to the left. And in steering more and more to the left and embracing social justice, one of the ironies is they are embracing policies that then hurt their business. They're essentially being hijacked by social justice warriors. So, for example, let's take Target. No. Better example, more recent example, Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's not only decided to stop selling guns in their stores, but Dick's then hired lobbyists to try to get laws passed in Washington to prohibit other competitors of Dick's from selling guns in their stores. And what did customers do? Customers stopped shopping at Dick's. My wife would rather crawl across broken glass with snakes on her back to go somewhere else. She does not shop at Dick's. She refuses to shop at Dick's after the CEO went after gun owners. And Dick's had a massive decline in sales. Target, I brought up Target. Remember, Target decided they would have transgender bathroom. They would allow transgender people into bathrooms, and people stopped shopping at Target. They didn't want to take their kids in there. And so Target had to spend a lot of money and buy unisex bathrooms, single-stall unisex bathrooms. Had to build them, not buy them, for people to go in, and it cost them money. Corporate wokeness undermines corporate profitability. And this Salesforce CEO guy essentially saying that they're going to have to go woke if they want to stay in business. Well, if you live in San Francisco, yeah, maybe so. But I do think the biggest danger to the economy right now, beyond the tariffs, I do think the tariffs are economically dangerous for the president long term. Beyond that, I genuinely think that corporate wokeness is going to do in corporations. We're seeing this around the country. Corporations embracing leftist policies. I mean, for harassing Christians, you name it. And we're going to see this. Apple Computer. I've got a story when we come back about Apple. Apple is helping the Chinese communists persecute dissidents in Hong Kong because, well, there's essentially been, dare I say, Shanghai'd by China. They've been hijacked by China. They can't afford to upset their Chinese communist patrons. And so now they're allowing the Chinese to go after Hong Kong dissidents. We'll discuss that when we come back.
National Connections, Local Focus. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
That's right. Yes, you can. And I hope that you will give a try this weekend. If you signed up for the recipe yesterday, brisket po' boy, barbecue beef po' boy. I got to make that this weekend too. I really need to make that. Okay. Let's not get distracted by that. I want to tell you, by the way, while I'm talking about corporations, this hour is sponsored by First Liberty Building and Loan here in Georgia. Now, if you're listening nationwide and you are involved in capital acquisition for a small or medium-sized business, First Liberty, they may be here in Georgia, but they operate nationwide, and they can help you get access to capital to grow your business. If you're a small or medium-sized business, you want to be a big business, you need access to capital, you're probably going to go through a bank and a bureaucracy from a bank that is scared to lend anybody money these days. First Liberty of Georgia, good Christian family runs them, the Frost family. They're dear friends of mine. They have helped me get this off the ground. Frankly, going to them helps this show. So go to FirstLibertyGA.com, tell them I sent you, and help your business start growing. This is our sponsored by First Liberty of Georgia. Apple. I love Apple. I'm right now. I have an iPhone here. I have an Apple Watch on my wrist. I got an older iPhone right here. I've got my iPad over here. I've got my laptop here. I've got my iMac behind me. I'm in the cult. And so I feel really, really dirty right now. Really dirty right now. I don't like Windows machines. When I was a kid, I grew up in Dubai, and we had Apple IIe's, and then we had had the 2C, and then the 2E. I started on a computer in 1981 in first grade. I started on computers. So we had the 2E, and then we had the 2GS, which I still to this day love. Then we had the Macs, and when I got into high school, we moved back. I was the only kid in school, just for perspective of how I grew up. I realized I grew up very uniquely. I've still been to more countries than states. I was the only kid in my school growing up who did not have a computer. And when I moved back to Louisiana, we moved back to rural Louisiana when I was in 10th grade, and my parents finally decided to get me a computer. I wanted a Mac, but Macs were like $10,000. They were insane, at least the Mac I wanted. I wanted the 2CI. And my parents got me a Windows PC. At the time, it was DOS. It was Windows 3.1 big. We were headed into Windows 95 soon, but it was Windows 3.1. It was DOS, MS-DOS, and I went from being the only kid in my school without a computer to being the only kid in my school with a computer in rural Louisiana. And man, it was top of the line. It was 33 megahertz. It had a 60 megabyte hard drive in it. I mean, it was just, yeah, megabytes and megahertz, not gigahertz. Yeah. Crazy at the time. It had a modem in it. I mean, I could dial into bulletin board services and get library resources. It was crazy. Man, it was so primitive. And it had a flaw in it in that it would not turn on unless you pounded it with your fist right over the power button. You had to whack it with your fist for it to turn on. Nonetheless, I swore when I got to college and I made money, I would start buying Apple stuff. And here I am. Apple now makes everything in China, in Shenzhen, in that area. And Apple has deleted from its app store an app that allows people in Hong Kong to see where the protesters are, see where the police are, and see where tear gas has been sprayed so they can avoid the area. And Apple says that that violates the law. And China, and they've deleted the app. It was an app being used by the protesters to avoid getting arrested and to avoid the tear gas zones. And Apple has pulled it. They are helping the communist Chinese. They're not admitting it, but it seems pretty clear the Chi-Coms complained, and Apple yanked the app. This is one of, you know, Facebook gets a very bad rap. In Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, Facebook gets a bad rap. The difference between Facebook and Google is that Facebook, you don't really have to use it if you get online. You can go your entire day without using Facebook. Although, if you're watching the show anywhere around the country right now, I'm streaming live on Facebook. I like Facebook, and I'm not a huge Facebook user. It is a great way for me to interact with my family, but you know, it's just one more thing in my life. That being said, unlike Apple, a company I dearly love, whose products I use, Facebook doesn't operate in China. Because Apple is willing to surrender data of people in China to the Chinese communist authorities, and Facebook isn't willing to do that. Think about that for a minute. Facebook, I think, intuitively understands that China would be able to use the data to find patterns of people that would suggest, for example, they're Christians, and go round up the Christians. Apple lets China have access to that data. And Apple is always portrayed as, well, of course Apple is portrayed as that because Tim Cook is woke CEO who goes around filing amicus briefs in the Supreme Court and LGBTQ issues and the like, but they're the ones helping the communist Chinese, not Facebook. When people are worried about invasion of privacy, think about it from that aspect and then wonder, maybe we should reconsider some things. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. Phone lines are actually now open. You can call in if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Yeah, let me say that again. Man, did I screw that up with the 877-973-7425. I actually am curious what it would take for you to support impeaching the president. Is there any line that could be crossed short of murder? I want to discuss this for a moment. Before I do, I want to remind you, First Liberty Georgia is the sponsor for this hour, firstlibertyga.com. If you got a business, you want to grow your business, you need access to capital, avoid the banks. Go to firstlibertyga.com and tell them I sent you. I am going to replay this video. I am going to replay the video because I need to make a point to you. You may be tired of this video. I'm not actually tired of this video. I could play this video every day to make this purpose. Here's the thing. I wonder how much the president is benefiting from the media crying wolf for so long. This is audio. It's actually video, but I'm playing you the audio from the video of the media conversations beginning February 1st, 2017 and running through February of 2019.
Breaking news. A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
This is the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
The beginning of the end?
Beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the...
We begin tonight with a bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
Resignation.
Resignation.
I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way. No how.
Breaking news.
Absolute bombshell.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
The walls
are increasingly
closing in on him.
Tonight, the walls
are closing in.
Today changed everything. This is the beginning of the end.
Today, the biggest
tipping point for the Trump administration.
Historic day, the bombshells.
He's underwater. He feels
the walls closing in.
Turning point.
We may be at a tipping point.
It's the beginning of
the end.
The beginning
of the end.
Another bombshell.
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 This is a bombshell.
It is.
Okay. So I got a legit question. How much is the president benefiting from the media crying wolf? Y'all remember the story of the boy who cried wolf, I assume. A little boy in a field is bored. He's tending the sheep. He decides he needs some excitement in his life, and so he runs into the town screaming, "There's a wolf! There's a wolf! There's a wolf!" And the men of the town gather their armaments and their torches, their batons and their guns and their pitchforks, and they run off to attack the wolf because they know the town livelihood, it depends on these sheep, and they gotta save the sheep. The little boy tending the sheep for his family, it's a community effort. They go out to find the wolf, and the little boy just falls out laughing. There is no wolf. And the town people, they admonish the little boy, and they go back to their work. And later in the day in the fields, the sun is very high in the sky, and the boy is very hot and bored. He runs, "There's a wolf, there's a wolf, there's a wolf. This time there really is a wolf." And they all run out again, and there is no wolf. And the little boy laughs, and they might spank him, but they're annoyed, and they go inside. Well, at the end of the day, the sheep are tired, and the boy is tired, and a wolf comes, a hungry wolf comes. And the little boy is scared, and he runs in town, and he says, "There's a wolf, there's a wolf, there's a wolf. Please, please believe me this time, there's a wolf." And no one believes him. And the wolf eats the sheep. The media has loved the emperor has no clothes metaphor for the president. I wonder if there's one for the media here, and that is the boy who cried wolf. They've done this since the president was elected. Breaking point, turning point, crisis moment, impeachment, tipping point, on and on and on it goes. At some point, the public gets tired of it. But there's more to it than that. There is more to it than that. I want to play you a little bit of audio. Let's listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some of her exchanges. I'm not going to play the one about the woman who believes we need to eat babies. I don't know if you heard this yet. Actually, you know, maybe I should play this if I can find it. A woman last night at the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez event showed up and claimed that one of the things we need to do is we need to eat babies. That's right. We need to eat babies. Woman showed up. She claimed to be a supporter of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's, and she wasn't really. And you know, I saw it last night, and I thought, this woman has to be a troll. She has to be a troll. This cannot be a real person. And it turns out it was a plant. It was a LaRouche activist, a LaRouche activist. You know, Lyndon LaRouche was one of the original conspiracy theorists. And this woman shows up at the AOC event and demands that one of the ways we need to deal with the situation is we need to start eating babies. We got to start eating. Yeah, let me actually just listen to this.
We're going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even
she's wearing a shirt that says "Save the planet, eat the children." There actually is a Swedish professor who said we need to become cannibals to save the planet. There is a Swedish professor who said this. This woman amplified it. She was a LaRouche. LaRouches are nutty conspiracy theorists who showed up at this event. We should not tag AOC with it, but she says enough. She says enough stuff. Let's listen to some of this from her event last night.
The Mercy and Reentry Act allows us to open all of our social safety nets, and it ends federal discrimination on our social programs based on people who were formerly incarcerated. And one reason that we do that is because one of the number one reasons for recidivism, why mass incarceration is such a persistent problem, is poverty. It's because people come out We refuse and we deny and we refuse to extend opportunities to folks. So then we create so much economic isolation in this country that people feel funneled right back into recidivism, and then we're incarcerating the same community over and over again. So the Mercy and Reentry Act ends federal discrimination for the formerly incarcerated, for our social safety net, and the Embrace Act, we are doing the same, and we are ending, and it's a piece of legislation that ends similar discrimination based on documentation status. It's a kind of a next level piece of legislation, and it is something that people are going to say, why would you do that? I believe that we need to acknowledge the contributions that immigrants make in America.
I'm just going to stop it there because my brain hurts. Yeah, okay. And then there's this.
When it comes to the Green New Deal, people are like, and of course, they come from the zero-sum mentality. We're going to take away your hamburgers. We're going to take away your airplanes. We're going to take away all of these things. And really, what this is asking us is, what are we going to make? Not what are we going to take away? What are we going to establish? And frankly, for everyone that says a Green New Deal is going to ground planes, I guarantee you climate change, which threatens storms, turbulence, airplane groundings, and airport closures, will ground airplanes far sooner and far worse than any sort of climate legislation ever would if we made, for example, scientific investments in zero carbon airplanes. Which I believe at some point, you know, hopefully will be able to create that kind of technology, but it takes thinking like this to do it.
You know what you would need to do to have a zero carbon airplane? You would have to have no people in it, because people are carbon-based life forms, are they not? So we've got the media refuses to give a pass, always gives a pass to this stuff, and always amplifies every single thing about the administration. So you got people in flyover country. I mean, heck, there are parts, if you're listening, for example, in WCHM in Habersham County, you're considered flyover country to the media. How many members of the mainstream media show up in Clarksville? How many members of the mainstream media show up in Rome? How many members of the mainstream media go to Dalton or Jasper or Adel or Quitman or Vidalia? How many? Well, they go to Vidalia to get the good onions. But nonetheless, how many people do that? You're flyover country for them. You typically go to church on Sunday. Most of you listening right now, you may not go to church this Sunday, but I bet you're going to be in church at some point this month. I bet you have a church you're tied to. I bet your family historically goes to church. I bet you consider yourself a Christian. I bet you consider yourself socially conservative. And you have the media that thinks in your small town you need to embrace transgenderism. You need to embrace gay marriage. And if you're a Christian small business, you should be providing goods and services to that gay marriage, or you should be shut down. I bet that there are people who lament at the libraries in Northeast Georgia and Northwest Georgia. There, it is a sad disservice to the community that there are no drag queen story time hours at the local library. I bet you work at the local coal burning power plant. You understand that they want to put you out of business and put you out of the workforce. And now they're telling you the guy who stood up for you needs to go. And they've told you he needed to go in 2015. They told you he needed to go in 2016. They told you he needed to go in 2017. They told you he needed to go in 2018. And they've told you he needed to go every month of this year. And you're suddenly wondering why, what's changed. You're not paying attention. See, that's the other thing. Members of the media, they obsess over this stuff. I played you the montage. Turning point, tipping point, breaking point, snapping point, impeachment every single day of the year. The media has been obsessed with the president every single day of every single year of his administration. And you've got a life. Many of you today are going to a high school football game tonight. I apparently am not, because I just got told I got to work this evening. Many of you, though, you're going to a high school football game tonight. You're going as the grandparent of a kid. You're going as the parent of a kid. You're going because your friends are still on the high school team, you're in college, and you want to go cheer them on, or you're going because you're in high school, you're skipping school, and you're listening to me, which is a better education than most schools. and you're going to go hang out with your friends tonight. You're probably going to a high school football game tonight. The media, if they go to a high school football game tonight, they're going to be there with their cameras to cover how violent a sport it is and how we should get rid of it. I bet this weekend you're going to cook out. I bet you are. You're going to cook out. You're going to go do something. My wife this weekend, so my wife has a Harley. My wife is going to ride in a Jay's Hope Ride. It is a ride for a cancer charity in Middle Georgia. She'll be riding in that. I'll be taking my son to Little League Soccer tomorrow while my wife is on this motorcycle charity ride. And you'll be doing something similar. Members of the media will instead be stewing over how to get the president. They'll be out in search of their organic homeopathic kale salads while you're on the Little League field trying not to sweat. By the way, cooler temperatures starting tomorrow. Praise Jesus. Cool weather. The fall is finally coming. Fall is coming. My leaves are falling outside. I mean, I got leaves all over the yard and it's still 100 degrees outside. It's crazy. But nonetheless, you got a life. You're not paying attention to all this stuff. And every time you check in, the media is yet again telling you there's a bombshell, tipping point, turning point, you name it. The last time you paid attention to this stuff, you got on TV to watch and it was Bob Mueller saying the president didn't coordinate with the Russians. And you're thinking, what? For 2 years they've been telling me he did and they were lying. So now the media is telling you this. And what do you think? Every time you tune in, stuff is having to be retracted. You know, last week they said it wasn't coordinated. Now it is coordinated, except MSNBC, of course. MSNBC says, oh, no, 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 no. It's not coordinated. No. You look at this stuff and you think, I'm not being told the truth by these guys. And I got problems with him. But he's on my side and they're out to get me. So the moral of the story is I think they've raised the bar very high. If you're in politics and you pay attention to this all the time and you can be a high-minded pundit who cares about your principles, you can look at all this stuff and you can say, by God, this guy needs to go. If you're working in a coal plant in Georgia, a coal power plant, you're thinking, this guy's keeping me in a job. They want to put me out of a job. I'll excuse a lot. Before I throw him out of office, there is a vast disconnect in the media right now. It's one thing for a pundit to say this is bad, the president broke the law or the president abused his office and he should be impeached. But try telling that to real world Americans who for the last couple of years have become assured by the media that the left is out to get them. And the same left that's out to get them is out to get the president. So why shouldn't they stand with the president? And after all, they've been crying wolf for so long. How do we know this is true? It may just be another thing. And the fact the media doesn't even understand that, they don't get it. They do not recognize that they are in part at fault for all of this. And it's going to take a very high bar for the media to convince you that this time, there really is a wolf.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Sorry, I'm staring at footage from Hong Kong. The streets are on fire, and it looks like police in riot gear are storming down the street. It's just unreal. Part of the transcript that's come out from the president and his talk with President Xi or Xi or whatever, I say people seem – this is part of my pet peeve. People seem to be convinced that I need to – pronounce everything Chinese as if I'm from China and know I'm an American. Nonetheless, the president apparently told the president of China he would keep his mouth shut on the Hong Kong protesters as long as trade negotiations were ongoing. And some people are upset about that. He also raised a red flag about Joe Biden's son getting business deals from China. I'll spend a little more time on that later because I do have some thoughts on that, and I think the president has a case to make. I want to mention something here. A dear friend of mine is leaving the Trump administration. Now, Rick Perry, the Secretary of Energy, he's not gone yet. He's signaling he will depart in November, and I am a big fan of Rick Perry's. he has worked very quietly. A lot of people forget he's even in the Trump administration because he's never in the headlines, and he's never in the headlines by demand, by insistence on his part. He does not want to be in the headlines. He wants to do his job, and behind the scenes, he's been doing his job. He's been doing it scandal-free. He's been overseeing the American nuclear reserves, American nuclear energy, and American nuclear weapons. In fact, so I interviewed Rick last year at our Resurgent gathering. We held it in Austin, Texas, and he was just so excited about his job. You know, the irony here is that Rick Perry is in charge of a division of the government that he wanted to get rid of. In fact, it's the one he forgot he wanted to get rid of on stage, famously, the three departments of government. That was kind of the moment his campaign ended. When he did that on stage and people started making jokes about it, and now he's in charge of one of those. And Rick Perry loves his job. He's amazed by what the Secretary of Energy actually does, much of which is classified. In fact, he was telling me the story. He met a guy. He was in Europe, and he met a guy in an airport who came up and introduced himself. He wasn't traveling with a big entourage. He doesn't like to travel with an entourage. Nobody really recognizes him anyway. But this guy came up to him and says, "Secretary Perry." He says, "Yep." He says, "I'm one of your employees." And Rick Perry shakes his hand and says, "Well, what do you do?" He says, "Well, I'm our liaison with Interpol." And Rick Perry says, "Oh, we have a liaison with Interpol?" And he says, "Why?" And the guy says, "Well, I can't tell you in public, but in private." And that was his tip off that his job was far more expansive than he knew. And now he knows all the details of it. And he's done it scandal free. He's a great guy. When we come back, let's look at unemployment numbers around Georgia. It gives you a sense of why the governor's so focused on rural Georgia.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.